Just a reminder, as many of you saw when you came in, there were bottles of water. If you have need of them, please. Did we run out?
No.
Okay. If you have need of a bottle of water, please get some. Yes? Oh, raise your hand and Sandy and Kathy will distribute. So if you need that. Our first scripture comes from the book of Genesis, Genesis 18, verses 1 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, knead it and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servants who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent behind him. Our next scripture is from the book of Luke, continuing our journey through Luke. It's at Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. Hear the word of the Lord. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and wondrous Lord, we have heard your word, and we ask that it would lead us and guide us and show us, your people, how best we can be those people. Gracious God, guide us through your word, and may your word bless us this day. In your holy and wondrous name, amen. I could crack a joke about how do you get people to move seats in an RCA church? You put the fans in the front, and yet everybody still sits in their same seat. The fact is, as we read about Mary and Martha, there's a certain element that is involved. There's a sibling moment. And if any of you have a sibling or a family member, this whole story might be very real to you. You might have a relative who every Thanksgiving has a moment where you feel they're being Martha or Mary. They disappear somewhere. You don't know where Aunt Helen disappeared to, but you know that the work is being done and Aunt Helen's gone, and you can count on it like clockwork. Maybe you have a sibling who always takes on every single task, never asking for help, and you think of them as a Martha. This is the story of two sisters. Two women who apparently have a little history with Jesus. Later, we'll read about their brother. We'll read about Martha being a little hacked off at Jesus for not coming sooner and helping her brother Lazarus. We'll read about Mary washing the feet of Jesus and how just incredulous that great defender of the faith, Judas, gets. That was a joke. But it begins with this. It begins with us setting aside some of our own childhood stuff. Even as parents, the other day as I was prepping for my sermon, I came home and I got ready to put the kids to bed and I watched Liam and Barb, Mary and Martha. I watched Liam pick up 15 toys and 15 blocks and Barbara tootle around with the one block. And then I said, Barbara, you need to pick up more. I did what Martha wanted Jesus to do. There's a commonality in this moment and experience. On the one hand, you have Martha, who's the worker. She's busting her ever-loving self, trying to make everything go right and perfect for Jesus. You can imagine the level of ire she has because she is working and working, sweating and getting ready to make sure the whole house is perfect. And where is Mary? Several of us likely feel like we have at times been Martha. Now, I'll be honest, Mary in many ways gets a bad rap. After all, it's not like she's disappeared to go look at a magazine. It's not like she's going to watch the Tournament of Roses parade while Martha's preparing New Year's dinner. Mary is not a ne'er-do-well. She is simply someone who has prioritized listening to Jesus, someone who has decided that a clean house can wait, that Jesus is more important. So try and set aside certain judgments of Mary and Martha. But also remember our earlier discussion of our neighbor. You see, not that far off, the previous passage, Jesus had just told us who our neighbor was and how we are supposed to love our neighbor. On the surface, we might look and say that at the very least, Mary is not being a very good neighbor to Martha. However, there's a key problem here. A key problem that if we get lost in our own story, we'll miss sight on. You see, As I read this, I kept on thinking of those persons I've known, who I've always thought of as we think of the stereotype of Mary. When I worked in the parks department for Grand Rapids, I knew a guy. And this wasn't the kind of guy you wanted to know. The rest of us would be working on the ball diamonds, getting them looking really nice, mowing, and meanwhile, he's walking around picking up the trash. He could make picking up trash in a park an all-day job. Some days he did on hot days, just walking along. Oh, there's a cigarette butt. Now, the park bordered the busiest street in the entire city, and he's picking up cigarettes along. He was making work to avoid work. Now, the fact is, it would frustrate all of us. We would seethe with frustration and just look at our boss and say, Carl, look what Jared's doing. And he said, it's fine. It's fine. He won't be back next year. And then he was back the next year. Then there's also the sibling stuff that I mentioned earlier. And the expectation of what Martha goes to Jesus and wants him to do. Martha wants Jesus, and to a certain extent, maybe we want Jesus to sit Mary down and say, Mary, I appreciate you listening. It's really great that you're prioritizing that. But would you mind terribly going and helping your sister just a little bit? I promise I won't say anything of depth while you're gone. We want that evenness. But the problem is we miss out on the extremely simple answer to what really is going on. The extremely easy is that when you're faced with a choice between doing the dishes and listening to Jesus, you're listening to Jesus, right? You guys aren't so sure, right? The fact is, it should be a no-brainer that Martha is in the room sitting next to Mary. Because the dishes can wait. And if you listen to Jesus, his time cannot. He will not be there forever. Now, we can argue and say, well, we don't even know that Jesus was going to say something substantive. He might be telling a story about that time that Peter and the disciples were walking along, and all of a sudden Jesus said, so who do people say I am? Okay, everybody says this, and then all of a sudden Peter announces that he's the Christ. Maybe he's just telling an old story. We don't know. But the fact is, when given a choice between listening to Jesus and cleaning a house, the priority should be to listen to Jesus. That isn't to say all of a sudden nobody cleans their houses. Now, in verse 30, Luke gives us a very clear statement of what really is going on. Luke says that Martha was distracted by her many tasks. Luke doesn't say she was busy or working hard with her many tasks. Luke says that she was distracted. Martha is so busy working and doing this and that, and is so busy that she can't listen. She can't be bothered to listen. Set aside those working excuses that we have. Martha, yes, is working hard, but it's just a distraction. It's a distraction that is causing her to miss out on God. Think about this. How many of you do something and listen to a book on tape? Come on, I know a few of you do. How many of you do something and can listen at the same time? The fact is, Martha is lost in this. She is so distracted by getting the house ready, by, oh, Mary's not helping, so she's got to work harder. She is beyond distraction here, and she is beyond the ability to listen to Jesus. She's too busy. Now, her sister has not missed the fact that before her sits the very Son of God. God in human form. Part of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, part of the triune God, in her living room sits, and Mary sees it and listens. But Martha is too distracted, too busy. She's too busy worrying about being a good host for the Son of God than she is to be there with the Son of God. But again, we look at the irony that that seems to be about one's neighbor and loving them, and one sister doing all the work, and one listening to God. But let me throw a little piece at you. If in fact Mary were really truly loving her sister, loving her neighbor, would she help her sister, or would she help her sister? Would she go and maybe help vacuum the living room, or maybe grab her sister by the hand and say, "Martha, it can wait, but Jesus can't"? If we want to critique Mary in any way, it is the fact that when she could help her sister, she doesn't. But instead, the focus is on Martha. Martha, who is distracted and too busy working, and so busy that she's lost sight of why it is she's working. She's lost the balance of her life. She's so focused on serving God, on doing for God, that she is forgetting to listen to God. Now, I know of a church somewhere which has a women's group called Mary and Martha. Great name. Except when you try and say it really quick and it doesn't work. Now, Mary Martha, not Mary and Martha, but Mary Martha, is supposed to help the ladies in the group live out their life in ministry. And when I say in ministry, in doing their daily tasks, in serving God. And on the one hand, it worked really well in its start, as many church programs often do. But the problem is they lost that balance. They lost the balance of listening with serving, of listening and still doing. Originally, it became all work and no listening. They would be so focused in on the task that they would forget entirely why they were doing such a task, why they were doing what they were doing. And then it became, as the group got older, less doing and more listening. All listening and no doing. The group lost the balance of listening to God and then doing. We cannot be those people. We cannot be those people who are all doing or all listening. We cannot be those people who only do, like Martha, who are doing so much that they are distracted and lose sight of why they do that which they do. I mean, if you're not able to have the Son of God in your house and listen to Him, why, in fact, would you have Him in your house? If you can't at least listen to Jesus, what is the point? When we do things to serve God, we need to make sure we have our focus set and not be distracted. Make sure we are focused in not on doing the task, but why we are doing the task. We can't have it become something that it shouldn't be. Worship is great. It's wonderful to gather together with you and sweat like we are. But the fact is, if we lose sight of having God in worship, we might as well join a country club. God is why we're here. God is the reason we come. It's great that Mary and Martha got together and worked to serve others and the group. But once they lost sight of why their purpose existed, they stopped being a church group and just became a group. The difference between Mary and Martha, the two sisters, is not that one is willing to work and the other is not. It's that one has been distracted from her true path. One has been distracted from listening to God. We need to remember our focus on God. We need to remember where God should be in our lives, in our worship, in our service. And the hardest part is putting those lessons in action. Brothers and sisters, let us not be distracted. Let us not lose sight of why we serve God, why we do that which we do. But let us follow, listen, and do. Amen. At this time, let us respond to God through our many blessings.